It is 6 minutes after 9 o'clock on Cape Talk. This is the Today Show with Jeremy van Wyk in for Keno Cummings all the way through until 12 o'clock. A very good morning to you. How has your how was your evening and how has the morning been so far? Would love to know from you. 021-446-0567. I was listening to John Matham coming into work this morning and listening to him talking about how people just break the law and speed on their way to work and time the speed cameras and then just bolt off again. And like clockwork, as John was telling his story, a car with a CY registration almost drove me off the road on the N1 incoming. Where this person was rushing to, I have no idea, but it was such a dangerous move. Just in and out of traffic, and we didn't have a lot of cars at the time of the morning, and I think that's a good thing. Otherwise, there would have been an accident this morning coming into town on the N1. So please be careful out there. Anything on your mind this morning, please? The open line is there. You set the agenda, you set the tone. And we facilitate that, and we are the platform for you to use just to get whatever is on your mind or on your chest this morning. You're more than welcome to chat to us about it. And who knows, we can have one good conversation. As usual, the weather is beautiful outside. Cape Town is showing off. It's also a day when if you're not working and you have some time to spare, you can get out there and enjoy yourselves. Of course, with your mask, your social distancing, and also your hand sanitation. Coming up in the show, we'll be chatting to Xanthia Lomberg, who's the Mayoral Committee for Water and Waste Services, just to unpack in more detail the lifting of water restrictions and the softening of that water levy. We'll get into more detail with Xanthia around 9:40 this morning. Then we cross to Deutsche Welle in Bonn and we talk about institutionalized racism and about ignoring racism in Germany's police force. That is a big story over there, as there have been many complaints of inhumane treatments of people with a different skin color. Then we come back to our home ground. 7.8 million rand Wallace Dean upgrade project progressing despite illegal occupation threats. Malusi Boy joins us at 11:30 this morning, and Malusi will explain to us how the formalization of informal settlements is a step forward into bringing about services and dignity to those people who are living in informal settlements. So we'll take a citywide look at the progress that is being made. And we know there's a shortage of houses. So the city is reckoning, listen, let's bring back some dignity while people are still living in informal settlements. Malusi Boy will give us a lowdown on that later on in the show.
Today with Jeremy van Wyk in for Keno Cummings.
We all have a voice. Use yours.
Call 021-446-0567.
Join the conversation on Cape Talk.
So my mind is pretty open this morning and my heart is open to anything that is on your mind. So please feel free to give us a call on the numbers you've just heard. And it will be a pleasure, an absolute pleasure to chat with you this morning. I had a chat with Lester and listened to some of his show yesterday and on my way home. And we know that Black Friday is making its way on the 27th of November. I just want to know from you, how are you going to be dealing with Black Friday come 27 November, given that we are still under alert level 1 lockdown and that the COVID virus is far from being absent from our lives? I would like to know, are you doing the retail thing or are we going to be doing all our shopping at home? Now, I know it sounds like a silly question sometimes. Jeremy, you know, we're not going to go to the retail stores, but you will have those people going to the retail stores and storming the stores for those bargains, especially ahead of the Christmas season as well. So what are your plans for the 27th of November? We'd love to know from you on 021-446-0567. And we'd love to hear if you are going out to the shops or will you be doing all your shopping at home. As for South African retailers, I think e-commerce is at a place where it's been well established and we've had a lot of time to kind of iron out the kinks that would cause problems on a day like Black Friday, where all our servers and services will be chock and block with people buying online, right? And I would like to know from you this morning, what are your plans for Black Friday on the 27th of November? Or are you going to just let this one slide? So let's go to the lines. I've got Paul in Durbanville. Paul, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, Jeremy. And you?
I'm good, mate. What's on your mind this morning?
Okay, Jeremy, let's talk about race classification. Mm. You brought it up with me a while back that you don't like to be referred to as a coloured.
Yes.
Because it's an apartheid classification.
Yes.
And I agree. But now what I don't agree with is, okay, so we had in apartheid, it was, I stand corrected, it was coloured, it was white, it was Asian, Indian and black. I think, was that it?
Mm-hmm.
Or were there more?
Yeah.
Okay. So Kachetso was talking the other day on the radio about quota systems at the universities, and he wasn't aware there was quota systems at the university, all right? So what happened with my daughter when she wanted to do medicine, she worked hard, got a very good matric, and I'll tell you straight, she got 90% from matric, couldn't get into medicine, basically because she was white, because her colored and black friends got in with 10% and 20% less aggregate. So what I'm saying is I agree there shouldn't be classification, but then there shouldn't be any classification. I think 25, 26 years on, I would have agreed 10 years into democracy, quota systems for education. I still kind of agree with quota systems in sport, even though it's been a long time. But there's still a problem with sport. But surely, if you do so well, you shouldn't have to go, as my daughter did, and do a year's BSc, a complete waste of a year, because you're white. And it basically, Jeremy, because she was white. Because in the systems at the universities, all the other races share the same advantage. Well, yeah, I think they do. Stand corrected. So, what's your view on the classification being scrapped altogether, as opposed to just using it conveniently, you know, when it suits people?
Let me explain to you why I strongly object to being referred to as coloured. And it's not just about the Racial Classification Act during apartheid. It's about the connotation. It's about the stereotyping. It's about the triggering that comes with that particular classification because it was meant to dehumanize everybody who was not white. Okay, so what it brings up for me as a so-called colored for the purposes of this conversation, it reminds me of how my parents were forcibly removed out of Harfield Village. How they lost a very small business, how we were dumped on the Cape Flats, how we were discriminated against because we couldn't go and study at university. There was no income. The family structure was attacked at its core in terms of trying to break up this family structure. So it brings up a lot of issues, even in today's world. And this is where I feel a major fail by the ANC government. And I say this shamelessly and I say this boldly, that they have failed all South Africans, including black South Africans, right? Because 25, 26 years down the line, I agree with you. And it's a point that I made the other day as well, is why do we still have to be racially classified? And that's because this government, the ANC government, they have not been able to implement a system where we talk about unity as South Africa, because what will argue against you us being unified as just South Africans is that there is still so much unemployment, amongst the majority of the people. The socioeconomic status of predominantly black people, it still remained the same, except for a few who are connected and are privileged enough to kind of get themselves out of that particular class demographic. And, you know, for me, Paul, we shouldn't be sitting here and talking about white, colored, black, Indian. We should be talking about South Africa. Your daughter should not be denied the opportunity to study meds with and be turned away on good grades because there's a quota to be met, because it's an indictment on this government that they have done nothing in terms of uniting us as a country, in terms of equaling the playing field for everybody in South Africa. And that's where discrimination comes in. Discrimination against our own people as black people, discrimination against whites, discrimination against people from other countries who are living in our country. And that's a failure by people who are supposed to be leading society, because the messaging they put out there, it's politically driven, it's ideologically driven, because they can afford to do that, and it's a message of division. It's almost a strategy of divide and rule. So everything else goes on the black back burner, because we will do anything to stay in power. So do I agree that your daughter should not have that your daughter should have been excluded on the base of a race? I do not agree with that, but it points to the failures of the so-called leaders of society. But it also challenges us as South Africans and it says to me we've been too complacent, because we've bought into the message of division.
And there's another point, Jeremy, sorry, because I just have to pick up before I forget what you said. You talk about clinging to power. This is not about race. Mm. It's about, as you said, dividing people.
Yes.
Because when you do that, you like my daughter, as I said, she had mixed race friends at school and still does at varsity. But it makes you resentful when you are classified like that.
Absolutely.
And it's not necessary to be made resentful when you grew up in a free South Africa, because she was obviously born in democracy.
Yeah.
So it's not democratic until it becomes non-political.
Yeah. So, you see, now on the other side, people will say, yes, but white people have always been privileged. They're still privileged. They're still in charge of the economy and all of those things. And to a certain degree, and I think a greater degree than we're even aware of, yes, it's true in South Africa. But The leaders of society, people who were democratically voted in, they have failed us, because they failed to unite us. They failed to equal the playing field, because there was, if you're politically connected, you have it made. And that is incorrect. And this is why we sit with a divided South Africa, and the kind of problems we have today. This is one of the big reasons.
That's why we don't have a black middle class. There's no black middle class.
Well, they
ultra rich blacks and very poor blacks.
Yeah. So, look, Paul, I'm sorry to hear about that, because
that's all right. She got ahead. She's in medicine now.
Yeah. Well, but what I'm saying is, no one, whether you're white, so-called colored, black, whatever, should be denied an education. Especially if you want to study as a doctor, because you are going to be bringing your services back to the community as well.
Yeah.
Denied getting ahead in life based on the color of your skin.
Agreed. Good check,
okay.
Jeremy.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Well, thanks, man. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye.
So let's go to Joy in Camps Bay. Good morning, Joy.
Hi, Jeremy. Thank you for taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
It's just a question that has bugged me for a long time.
Mm.
When you're speaking on the subject of race, we have many mixed families in our country, a white parent, a black parent, and Indian parent, whatever, okay? People are people. But what do we do when people like Malema actually shout, kill the whites? What is that child? We're supposed to be so child conscious in this country. What does that child feel? That's the question I ask. Yeah. I mean, it's rhetorical, but it's something that comes up in my mind. Are you asking that child to now choose? Are you uniting this country? What is the story?
You see, and that is the danger of populism. That's the danger of populism, because you walk away from one political party disgruntled. You're sitting with your own and small Indiana skeletons, or however big they are, in your closet, and you will say anything to deflect attention away from your wrongdoing, thereby creating the situation we divide and rule. Should he be singing those songs? Absolutely not. But leaders in society, and even those smaller political parties, Joy, who are sitting silently and watching and receiving taxpayers' money on a monthly basis, even they are complacent because they haven't done enough and they haven't raised their voices
in terms of and in reality the children are the future, so you've divided them again.
There we go Crazy. I agree with you. Thank you so much. Joy.
All right then,
okay, that's Joy Campsway. Let's go to Brian in Musenberg. Brian, good morning, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, man. Good morning to you and the listeners. I just wanted to say this, you know, this racial stratification policy of the ANC government is deliberate and carefully calculated. This government is actually entrenching racism by perpetuating racial division based on class, based on these labels of Indian, colored, white, black, Zulu, Xhosa. I mean, history has provided numerous examples of this danger of this. It's actually the breeding ground for hatred. We saw what happened in Rwanda with millions, over a million Tutsis being massacred by the Hutus. And in Ananda in 1985, so-called Indians were pitted against Zulus for the benefit of Rajbansi and that IAP leader, what's his name, Kachabutalezi. We've also been, history has also provided scientific, mountains of scientific evidence that there is only one race, and that's a human race, Homo sapiens. The ANC has used this tactic, this colonial divide and rule policy deliberately, because the majority of this, the inhabitants of this country are so-called black. So in order to get this vote, they have to use this tactic.
Yeah.
But this divide and rule policy is an old colonial policy of ruling.
Yeah, and sadly still
gaining control.
Yeah, and sadly still perpetuated today by this government. But we also shouldn't be naive to the reality at the coalface on the ground. People on the ground are still facing poverty, and the majority of them are black. People are still unemployed. The majority of them are black. So I think we need to, and I think this is where divide and rule works very well for the ruling elite in this country, because if you can convince people and tell them that they're suffering, but you dangle a golden carrot if you do this, if you do that, and you stick to power for long enough, and you tell them that, you know, things are going to uniting is it's not a very good idea at the moment because there's so much inequality in the country, then that is a problem. And then you have a situation where you are sitting with the situation we have in South Africa, because we are economically the most unfair country in the world, and black people are the majority, and they are still sitting without the jobs. And when I think of the VBS scandal and all these scandals going on, and these people addressing us on television and on the soapboxes as if we are a bunch of idiots as South Africans, and getting thinking that we believe the nonsense they tell them, then, you know, it's a sad day, because then what was the struggle about? What was the Trojan horse tragedy in Athlone about, where those youngsters were killed, you know? And I just think we need to, as South Africans, we've been too complacent and we've believed a lot of lies, but we also need to have hope, because we've been following a golden carrot being dangled by these politicians, and we vote for them all the time, and yet things are not improving. Ibtisam in Wellington, good morning. Thank you so much for calling in.
Good morning, Jeremy. I've been picking up on a lot of confusion among white liberals concerning the whole EFF situation. Do they think that he speaks for all black people, All you need to tell your children is that he is a murderous subhuman.
Okay. If they're so?
People seem to be confused because it's confusing them now. Just the fact that he's black, but he's an awful person, and now it's making them uncomfortable. But you don't, his blackness has got nothing to do with him just being a total psycho idiot who is spreading hate and murderous activity.
Yeah, I think we're more intelligent than that, Ebtisam, to believe.
Why are they confused? Why are they wondering how to explain to the children? Like they are confused. They don't know how to explain the whole EFF scenario. Why must a mixed race child feel uncomfortable about kill the Boer, kill the farmer? What does Julius Malema have to do with that mixed race child?
Yeah. You know, Ebtisam, for me, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, it's the language that's being used, and you're whipping up people's emotions, and you are manipulating them, and you're really taking advantage of the vulnerable by singing those songs, because you have your end goal in place. And that, quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think the EFF will ever be at peace until they have created a situation like we've seen in Senegal, where we have a bit of civil war going on in this country.
Yeah, but I also feel that everyone is sort of denouncing that whole, or have been up till now, denouncing that whole situation as, oh, those Afrikaner Boers are just racist, you know? And a lot of them are also, but now people are realizing that the circumstances under which they need to live are just subhuman. It's just horrible.
Yeah,
and yeah.
I hear you. Ebtisam, thank you so much for calling in. You know what I think, according to me, this is my opinion, a big part of the problem of for us as South Africans, and especially South African politicians, but just for us as ordinary South Africans, is that we are so much reminded of the past, and we should never forget about the past. But we tend to not focus on the future enough and intentionally, because we're not going back, we're going forward, although we should not forget the past. But we need to find a way to deal with the PTSD and the emotional trauma that people, and psychological trauma that the majority of South Africans still live with on a day-to-day basis. And I'm one of those people. When I drive through Harfield Village, I feel aggrieved. It doesn't sit well, because I know my parents were there, my siblings were born there, we had a life there, and now I see this area, and somehow I have a spiritual connection to Harfield Village. But through no fault of mine, I can't live there. I can't live there. I can't get the land back. But am I going to cause a civil war to get it back? No, I think that's irresponsible. And we need to really wake up sometimes as South Africans and take the future, as uncertain as it is. We take the future, we face the uncertainty head on, but we work together as people, as opposed to black, colored, white, Indian, liberal, Democrat, communist, whatever it is, because those ideologies, they are built around taking us back, looking at what didn't work in the past, and using it as a tool to get us all emotionally worked up and dividing and ruling us all the time. And I don't think that is a safe space for us as South Africans to be in, because we are South African, and we did overcome, and we will overcome again.